Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Acts. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
If you remember back to when we were in Matthew, this is quite a while ago, but when we were in Matthew's gospel, and we hit chapter 16, and there they are in Caesarea Philippi, and there's Jesus, this beautiful place, and Jesus is talking with the disciples, and, you know, hey, so who do men say that I am? And, you know, he's just having this dialogue, kind of rapping with them. He's going to extract something from them here in a minute, but he's just dialoguing, and then all of a sudden, well, so what about you guys? What do you guys think? You've been hanging out with me. You've seen the things that are going on. You know, who do you think that I am? You know, eventually Peter comes up with, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, this is all awesome. And that was great. And then we read on just a little bit further. And then Jesus starts to discuss. Now, mind you, their mindset was what? We are going to have a ruler. Someone that's going to come in and rule and reign over our lives. And rule and reign over the world as we know it. We're going to have this person that's going to come. The Messiah is going to come. And he's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem over all things. And that's their mentality. They're going to knock out the Roman government, which they despise. They didn't like the taxation. They didn't like any of the things that were going on with the Roman government. Let's get rid of the Roman government. This is their mindset. And Jesus says, you know, he starts talking to them about the cross. They're in chapter 16. And Peter says, Lord, well, obviously we know this is a radical contradiction and can't be so, but he says this anyway. Lord, no way, you know, that's not going to happen to you. And he spoke of the suffering. Is it possible that suffering could be part of the will of God in a person's life? A lot of people do anything to avoid it. And yet, as we go through the scriptures over and over again, we realize, wow, that could be part of the calling. That could be part of the experience as a believer. You know, here I thought I boarded the good ship Lollipop. You know, I thought this was all bells and whistles and candy and good times. And let them keep rolling. You know, kind of a thought process. We kind of, we enter that and we kind of forget about what really core Christianity is all about as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ. It may not always be easy. It may not always be comfortable. The thought is here is these people are all saying, hey, what's going on? What's going on with this? You know, the Spirit, I'm getting a little bit unsure now because the Spirit's saying, don't go. Is that the Spirit saying, don't go? Or are we reading that the Spirit is saying, hey, tribulations, situations out of your control and struggles await you? Paul, deep down inside himself, knows that this is part of what he's supposed to do. I've had the Lord speak to my heart sometime, not a ton, and I'm thankful for not the ton of times, but I have had those times the Lord said, Jim, you are to walk through this. And I had many people say, oh, dude, that's just, don't do that. That's don't, this is good. You know, you're asking for all kinds of things, you know. And the counsel was well-meaning. It was from the heart. And I'm sure it was to protect and insulate, you know what I mean, to keep from. But I remember those times. I remember, no, it's okay, man. I really believe the Lord wants me to walk through this. Difficult, dark times where things aren't always perfect and they aren't very clear exactly how this is going to play out. You and I were called to a life of faith. A life of faith. I'm thankful that God only gives me the parts that I need to know to get through sometimes just that day. Because if I saw too much in advance, I'd do an implosion, you know? It'd just be too much information. If I knew when I was going out to kind of run a missions organization after planting a church in Southwest Missouri and being there almost 10 years and just loving on all these people and just having this great time and kind of having to do a chapter 20 experience in Acts and just cry with everybody and tell them I'm leaving. And these are all people we've led to the Lord over the years. And it was rough, you know? And then going out there and you know, jumping on board with a new thing that God had put before us to do. And it was a great adventure and a great experience and all that. And then finding out just right more than 2 months into it that one of the main reasons we were really there is because my dad had come down with terminal brain cancer, and we were just to help him get to the other side. I'm glad I didn't know about that before I left. It would have been too grievous, to be honest with you. But God gives us those little bits as we go, and he gives us that grace to endure. But suffering can be. Tribulations. In this life, you will have tribulation. That's like a surety from the Lord. Not that you will go through the great tribulation, but that you will experience turbulent times. And that is very real. And yet, we spend most of our time trying to insulate ourselves from it. They told Paul this, that, hey, this is probably what's going to happen. Paul knew his Lord and Savior went through tremendous suffering, and for this purpose he came, he says. This is my purpose. And it's part of the joy. Remember, we talked about this last week. You know, for the joy that was set before me, he endured the cross. You and I cry and whine because we have a little bit of inconvenience once in a while. I think if Paul the Apostle would just sit down and just kind of rap with us, and let's go counsel with him. I think that'd be a great thing. Take your counsel appointments and go sit with Paul the Apostle. Wow. Then he'd flip you right over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and he'd go, well, you know, I got a lot of hassles in verse 22. I got a lot of hassles, you know, from all these different groups. And, you know, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He says, if they're really servants of Jesus Christ, let me tell you what I've been through as a servant of Jesus Christ. Labors more abundant and stripes above measure. What are stripes? Whippings. Above measure. I can't really quite remember how many times I've been whipped. That's pretty radical. In prisons, more frequent. In and out of jail. These aren't nice jails. They didn't have color TV. They didn't have basketball courts. They didn't have a gym. They didn't have, none of that stuff was there. In deaths often, people that are traveling with him, situations he's in, people are dying around him. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's a lot of whippings, man. That's pretty intense. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. You remember the time he was left for dead after they didn't throw rocks at his feet, brothers and sisters. They were aiming for the cabeza right there, man. Let's get him right in the head. You know, they want to kill him. They're angry and they want to kill him. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night and a day I have spent in the deep, or a day and a night, depending upon which version you want to read it out. Mine or this one. I've spent in the deep, you know, bobbing around, you know, just hanging on to a little piece of wood, you know. I've bobbed around in some pretty big waves before, and I get scared, and I've got an apparatus that's supposed to be somewhat safe to think about it a little bit. It doesn't sink. It's got a lot of foam and fiberglass on it. It doesn't sink. He's hanging on to a piece of wood that's waterlogged, trying to just get through it, and just, can you imagine at night? We used to night surf a little bit, and it's kind of weird, man. You get out in the water at night. It's kind of weird sometimes during the day. You don't really know what's underneath swimming around, you know, much less at night, you know, what's going on. It was pretty exciting when they got the lights on at the pier at Huntington. A little bit of fear dissipated then, but a day and a night they spent in the deep, and journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils, and that word we've talked about many times, but that word is intense fear, the fear that death is imminent. That's what the perils means. Perils in with the Gentiles, in perils of the city, my own countrymen, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings and cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. He says, man, that's what I'm thinking about, man. I'm thinking about, man, I share the gospel with these people. I pray, Lord Jesus, they would hang on to you. They wouldn't get sidetracked with all these other pagan things that are pressing in on them in their society around them. But I pray for them. I pray that they'd be encouraged and strengthened and that they'd follow you with all their lives. Paul looks at this, all these things that happen in his life, some of which have transpired to this point, some are still on the route, with the part that we read in chapter 11, some of which has happened already, some of which is coming. You know, we're about to get into some shipwrecks, and we're about to get into that as we go through Acts. But needless to say, sufferings, struggles, problems, but yet, what was he on? He was on his race. He was running his race. That was his race to run. That wasn't anybody else's necessarily, but that was his race in the Lord Jesus Christ to run. You have a race. I have a race. We have a race to run. No one can take your suffering or your struggling for you except the Lord Jesus Christ can help you bear it, endure it, and deal with it. You can't transfer that. You've got a race to run as a believer. Every one of us does. And Paul says, I want to do it with joy. Why? For the same reason that Jesus did it with joy. Jesus' race was to the cross. He was going to finish at the finish line and do well, giving us a grand entrance into the kingdom, giving us access to have fellowship with him forever and ever because of what he did, not because of what you did. Paul's not trying to get into heaven by doing this. There's no work strip here. He's not trying to get into heaven by all these struggles and trials and problems and things and trying to set up ministries and all that. He's not trying to get to heaven. What's he doing? He's wanting to share the transforming power of God that can transform a life from darkness and despair and utter separation for all eternity from the Lord. He wants to take them and introduce them to the transforming light and the love of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what he's focused on. That's what he thinks about. That's what his goals are. It's simple. It's not complex. It's straightforward. And he says, as we read on, they told Paul through the Spirit in verse 4 at the tail end of it not to go up to Jerusalem. Now, the Holy Spirit's ministering these things. Where's the struggle? The Holy Spirit's their interpretation. Some of the brothers and sisters, so we need to have what? Discernment when we're seeking counsel. We need discernment because there are some things that we take counsel, we say, yes, you know, that's not going to help me really reach my objective. Other things may be a little bit of a struggle to get to the objective. And you may say, you know I'm supposed to walk through this though. It's a little difficult. I know I'm supposed to walk through this. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been through your own struggles and your own issues, or maybe you know some that might be coming. But when we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went our way. And then they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were gone out of the city. So they kind of just traveled with them till they left. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And we had taken our leave from one another. We boarded the ship. And they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to, you know, another place there, greeted the brethren and stayed with them one day. Yeah, I mean, it's printed there. This is why you bring your Bibles. You know, if you didn't bring a Bible, I'm sorry, but it's written right there for you. I've still got some books to unpack. I've got a really cool book. It's green. I haven't been able to locate it yet in my transitional movings over the last couple of years. I still haven't located it yet. It's really a cool little, it's about this thick, and it's green. Has anybody seen it? It's got, you guys are hiding it from me, but it's got all the words in it with really clear pronunciation for guys like me. But anyway, it's written right there for you. They greeted the brethren and stayed with them one day. And on the next day, we, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea. And entered the house of Philip. So Caesarea is kind of the shore there, seashore, and they kind of cruised in there. Figured, hey, let's kick it here a little bit. They entered the house of Philip. Philip the evangelist, you remember him? He was one of the seven, you know, chosen to serve tables. And he was one that was caught up in the Spirit, got down there and talked to the eunuch, you know, and led the eunuch to the Lord. And he went off with the word. And, you know, God just really used this guy in some great ways. And they stayed with him. What a great place to kick it. You know, it's on the shore. You got hanging out with some great bro that you kind of talk with about the same kind of things. And this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And he's kind of old school a little bit, Agabus is. His name sounds old school even, doesn't it? But he's kind of old school in the way he does his stuff, you know? He's kind of more Old Testament style. But when he had come to us, verse 11, he took Paul's belt, bound his hands and his feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, if you were Paul, would you get freaked out? You know, the thought is would you get freaked out? Wow, man, everywhere I go, I'm getting this kind of a, you know, intense word from the Lord about what's coming, what things are going to be like, how things are going to go down. Now, Agabus shows up, you know, he's kind of a weird guy anyway, maybe, or he's different, but he seems to be pretty on target, you know, as far as this kind of stuff goes. And now he's taken my belt, you know, it's just, you know, it's like a rope belt type thing. And you know, he kind of binds himself up and says, "Yeah, so the guy who owns this, man, this is what's going to come down the pipe for him." So, you know, now the Spirit is ministering this, right? We agree with that. The Spirit is ministering this. Now, because the Spirit's ministering something that may be suffering or may involve a little element of danger or whatever it is, man, think about Frank Drown when he's come and shared with us about his friends. For the sake of the gospel, they gave their blood because they wanted to reach the indigenous people in Ecuador. For the sake of the gospel, they gave their blood, man. They risked it. Because they love Jesus. Man, you read some of their right prior to their death, some of their recordings, some of their journal notes and stuff. Pretty radical. It's almost like, you know, they had some insight, maybe a little bit, that this was happening. It's radical. And then in time, the very person that thrust them through got saved. And is friends with Frank. Can you imagine being Frank? You know, you're a young guy. You're out in the jungles of Ecuador. Gosh, what was it? Maybe the late 40s or something? And he's out, somebody comes from the government, they got to go search for his friends. He's part of the search party because he knows the jungles there and comes across them. They've given their life for the gospel because they love those people and they love the Lord. Man, that's powerful things to think about. Paul here is hearing this. You know, yes, there's danger. Yes, this is coming. Now the human side of this, go with me on this, brothers and sisters, because the human side of this is taking one angle of this, okay? They're interpreting this as, hey, better not go. Granted, some of these guys are traveling with him, okay? So granted, so we got to factor that in, because this is all a word picture that we're reading here, an adventure, a journey in the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's leading. Well, I thought the Holy Spirit just led me in just the right way so that I was protected and all this and that. Well, maybe not always in that sense. The suffering can be very real for the believer. And oftentimes we've spent our lifetime building insulation and we think that's our Western mentality. We think that's what it's all about. That's not really what the Bible teaches. And we just have to accept that. That's not really what the Bible teaches. And so we have to kind of be biblical perspective, not just Western or world perspective. We have to have a biblical perspective of our lives and our world around us. The Holy Spirit says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, I would start getting a little bit uncomfortable about all this, whether I was Paul or just hanging out with him. I think, this is not looking good. You know, there's going to be some nasty... Think about it. Luke is a doctor. He's already been hanging out with him when all this other stuff. They had to tell Paul, we can't... I know you want to go in at Ephesus. You want to go into the whole arena out there and just there's a mass of people. Of course, they all want to kill you. But you want to go into the middle of these people and testify about Jesus Christ. Noble, great thought, but I don't think we're going to do it today. you know, type thing. You know, so there was a lot of things that went on, and he yielded in some of these events, didn't he? He had discernment about the direction. There is safety in the multitude of counsel, but we've got to listen to the voice of the Lord. We need to hear from God. We want the counsel of brothers and sisters, yes, but we need to hear from God. It's very important that we hear from God. There's all kinds of facets to this as we break it down. Let's get into it a little further. So, now when we had heard these things, both we and those from that place, so the people hanging out at Caesarea there, Philip's pad, they're just kind of hanging out and they're just, ooh, wow, man. You know, and the guys traveling with them going, ooh, gee, I don't know. And they said, from those that we, all the people that were there pleaded with them not to go to Jerusalem. They said, man, dude, this looks bad. This is not looking like it's going to be a good trip, you know? Everywhere we turn, you know, this something's coming down, everything that goes on. Welcome to Christianity, brothers and sisters. Really? People come up and say, well, Jim, you won't believe what happened, and this happened, and that happened, that went down. That. I said, yeah, that's crazy, man. And I know sometimes it's a struggle, but it's okay that it's a struggle. God's got a purpose. Whose race are you in? You see, we jumped on and we're in a race. And the Lord's put this before you, before me. Our journey is before us. My only concern is that we stay on the journey, stay on the path. This is what I like as we kind of wrap up this morning's thoughts. Verse 13, then Paul answered. This is Paul's response. Granted, these guys are they're pleading. I'm sure I would have been the guy crying. I would have had tears running down my face. Dude, I don't think we ought to do this. Partially concerned for him and very concerned for myself, probably. But I would have been a bit alarmed, okay? And looking at the situation, no, don't, you know, we really probably ought not to do this. But this is Paul's response in verse 13. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? Basically, just say, you're killing me. You know, you guys are killing me. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? He goes, for him, he's torn up that they're going to be grieved about this. But this is what he says. He says, for I am ready not only to be bound. This is a guy that's been in and out of jail for the sake of the gospel. This is a guy that's been beaten, whipped. All kinds of things have happened to this guy for the sake of the gospel. And he says, I'm not only ready to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, he's remembering back to the original calling in his life, and he knows he's on a race. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know a lot of times as we listen to the Word, sometimes we really get convicted by God's Word. And you know, there's those times where we really need to repent and give our lives over to the Lord. The Bible, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, death is something, this destructive force, and it's this thing that, you know, our bodies are in this slow decay process. And you know, ultimately, we all are going to have a physical death. But spiritually, you don't have to die. We would die in our sin if not for the gift of God, and that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we want to receive that gift. We don't want to be paid the wages of our sin. We want to have everlasting life. And so you can pray this simple prayer of faith. If you've been, you know, listening and just hearing and just knowing that, man, God's tugging on your heart and you just know that there's something more to this life. Well, God wants to make himself real to you, just like he's done in my life as I was once troubled and struggling and distant from God, partying, trying to drown all my sorrows, as it were. But you know, the Lord is there and he loves you and wants to meet you right where you're at. Just pray this simple prayer along with me. It doesn't matter whether you're driving or out on a walk, just with your earbuds in, just in a place where you can listen on your computer, wherever you might be. If you're listening to this right now, you can pray this simple prayer and have everlasting life. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin. I want to ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. I don't want the wages of sin, which is death, but I want the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus,
my Lord now. I'm thankful, Lord, for your forgiveness, and I just ask that, Lord, as I start this new life, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might please you and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible-teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.